Okay, here we go. Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is the Week in Review.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Make my day, pal. All right, you've heard of the Nestea Challenge. There's the Biden Challenge among the headlines that we're going to look at of the stories that are making news this week. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact, and let's do it. All right, we're going to be reviewing the week's big stories with our esteemed panel. Let me introduce them to you. Joining me is political scientist and co-host of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, Wilmer Leon, lawyer and political commentator Steve Gill. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this day. We're going to start with this. The big international story this week is the death of Iranian President Raisi. His U.S.-built Bell helicopter went down during a fog. And, of course, the internet is exploding all week long with speculation about what really happened. Well, right now, there is no evidence of foul play, we should say, or make clear. Nonetheless, these are some of the videos that we had coming out of that scenario. Here it is.
Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi and Foreign Minister Hussein Amir Abdullahian are both confirmed to have died in a helicopter crash.
Breaking news out of Iran, where state media has now confirmed the death of President Ebrahim Raisi.
In with significant breaking news, Iran state media is reporting that the nation's president and foreign minister have died in a helicopter crash. Search teams arrived at the site of what was originally called a hard landing, and they found no sign of life.
Now, all of those people making those reports, I should suggest, and maybe this is a little mean-spirited on my part, you noticed only one of them couldn't even pronounce the guy's name, and the rest of them couldn't find Iran on a map if you paid them. Nonetheless, that is the world that we live in. Wilmer, we'll start with you. Reaction to this situation and all the buzz and stir that it has created.
Well, first of all, it is horrific and incredibly I'm sad to know that this has happened, because when you go beyond the relationship between the United States and Iran, and you look at the relationship that Iran was having on the world stage, Ebrahim Raisi was incredibly respected, highly regarded, and was considered to be a statesman in many circles. So it's a tremendous loss. In terms of the broader context, it will not surprise me if down the road we find out that this was not an accident.
Well, that's what the internet is saying, that obviously, I mean, look, let me just state the facts. Israel has a long history of being involved in these types of things with Iran. They have had Mossad agents inside Iran. They have assassinated nuclear scientists, five of them. They have just recently bombed a Iranian embassy in Syria. So it's not an unfair question to ask. But right now, Steve, I don't know how you feel about this. There's no evidence to suggest that.
Well, and again, just what we need is more turmoil and chaos in the Middle East. There's not enough to go around. I think it's ironic that this was an American-made helicopter that they had apparently purchased from Canada, despite the fact that Iran is getting a lot of their helicopters from Russia. Why are they using an old American helicopter purchased from Canada? I think that raises the first question.
Yeah.
It was the only helicopter that went down. If I think three of them were flying through the fog and in these mountains, it does raise a lot of questions, but I think the speculation may be premature.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think we all would agree on that. By the way, because of the sanctions, they're not able to get the parts to replace when part of that helicopter breaks. And now some folks are suggesting that may be the real reason. They just were flying a helicopter with old parts, and that's probably why it crashed. But again, we still don't know. All right, next question. Should Ukraine be allowed to use U.S. weapons to bomb Russia? Which pretty much means, at least as I'm seeing it, that would mean the U.S. is attacking Russia, right? Which pretty much means also that we would potentially be starting World War III by allowing that to happen. State Department crony Victoria Nuland says, hell yeah, bomb Russia, U.S.
Be able to stop these Russian attacks that are coming from bases inside Russia. So I think there's also a question of whether we, the United States and our allies, ought to give them more help in hitting Russian bases, which heretofore we've not been willing to do.
So she says, yep, give them arms and tell them to bomb Russia. It's important we do that. And her explanation is we should bomb Russia because the troops are coming from Russia, and so is the ammunition, which begs the question, where the hell does she think they're going to come from? Antarctica? It's a conflict between Ukraine and Russia. Of course they're coming from Russia. Steve, I'll let you start this one off.
Well, the ammunition, the missiles are coming from the U.S., so should Russia do a premature strike on U.S. territory? Using the same argument of Victoria Nuland, hey, the weapons are coming from Russia, so we ought to be able to target Russia. Well, the weapons are coming from Great Britain, the U.S., Germany.
Good question.
It is, again, slouching towards World War III. This is a woman who apparently has no concept of what warfare looks like in a traditional way. She needs to go spend some time on the battlefield and see what it is before she keeps pushing us and the world towards another world war. And you would think that the Western European nations, having had it happen twice on their territory, yeah, wouldn't want to be the home team again.
Well, here's one for you, Wilmer. He played the guitar at a bar in Kyiv during the war, kind of like Nero fiddling. He has lied through his teeth about almost everything having to do with Gaza. He has worked for and will likely work for again very soon at the behest of defense contractors. And that is why this happened to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken when he appeared before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee a few days ago.
The need for U.S. global leadership and for cooperation with allies and partners has never been greater. The People's Republic of China pursuing
military.
I was saying, the People's Republic of China.
He is a war criminal. He is a war criminal. The blood of 40,000 people is on his hands.
That happened like 9 times, Wilmer, maybe more. What's interesting thing, the interesting thing, as I see it, and pardon me for giving my opinion here before yours, but he's never going to be criticized by the media because they're afraid if they do, they'll be fired. He's never going to be criticized by our politicians because they're all corrupt as hell. And he'll always kind of be doing and saying the things that are necessary for military contractors. So my thinking is, if these folks don't get up and say that to him, nobody else will.
You're absolutely right. We're seeing this play itself out on our college campuses. Let me make a quick point about Victoria Nuland. It's also important to remember that she was the cookie lady in 2014 during the Maidan coup.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we're seeing play itself out in Ukraine got some of its impetus and some of its beginning from, thanks to her, in Ukraine. To your point regarding the protests, you're absolutely right. He should be considered a war criminal. In fact, I'm surprised that his name wasn't listed, but I understand why it wasn't, in terms of the ICC warrant issue. He doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't even really seem to be able to actually comprehend the broader dynamics of the things that he says and the broader implications and dynamics of the policies that he's promoting.
What is it about this job, Steve? I mean, look, I don't care. I can go back to almost any of them. I mean, go back to Kissinger, Madeleine Albright. I mean, whoever gets in that position does exactly what this guy is doing. Why is that? Steve?
Part of the job, I guess. They're trying to make sure that they're promoting whatever agenda that their administration has, even if it's nonsense. I think it's particularly ironic that he's leading the fight to pause weapons to Israel because of collateral damage in Gaza, but sending weapons to Ukraine that are killing innocent men, women, and children in Donetsk, in Mariupol, in Donbass. They don't see any connection between weapons being used in that context and delaying weapons to Israel. And then the idea that we are withholding intelligence information from Israel so that they could target the Hamas leaders as our greatest ally, as Joe Biden says, Nothing this guy says, as was pointed out, is ever true.
Two things.
I just want to know how much he got in his tip jar playing in Keith. I don't think he made enough to cover a beer buy.
He was Nero in that moment. I love that video. I showed it earlier this week, by the way. Okay, something going on I want to get your reaction to, and we're going to do this after the break. But let me tee it up for you. Ready? Apparently, there's a new study out that's gone crazy on the Googles, on the internets, that says that young Americans, when asked if they like living in the United States, if they're patriotic, the number is dismal. It is tiny for people like under the age of 30. Anybody over the age of like between 60 and over 70, completely patriotic, love America, think we're the best country in the world. I mean, it is crazy the disparity between these numbers. I'm going to share that with you, and we'll also talk about the so-called upcoming debates between Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump. Stay right there. We're going to be right back.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Вот и самый знаменитый учебник по истории Украины. Древнейший период в истории украинского народа длился свыше 140 тысяч лет. На следующей странице буквально читаем. Был линия человека разумного около 35-40 тысяч лет тому назад. То бишь, когда обезьяны слезали с деревьев и встречали древние украинцы.
Пошли старания местных историков, что Иисус Христос был украинцем. Создавалась и проектировалась нация, которая будет всегда в конфликтной ситуации по отношению к русскому народу, к русскому государству.
Шухевч! Герои Украины!
Centuries ago, your forebears named this country Ukraine or Frontier because your steps link Europe and Asia. But Ukrainians have become frontiersmen of another sort.
Україна і український президент є об'єкт, тобто нами грають. Тим більше, якби це цинічно і сумно звучало, грають в темну.
Ми живемо в незалежній Україні, правильно? Причому тут московська. Хай буде Бандера, національний герой.
Дуже важко буде поєднання польсько-українське в часах, коли богатирем України є Степан Бандера.
Modern pragmatic world of smartphones and tech upgrades. Artisanal crafts and hand-painted traditions of yesteryear seem to be fading away. But take a step outside of the bustling megapolis of Moscow and you'll find that traditional Russian folk arts culture is still going strong.
Wars are a result of lies. If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
The importance of WikiLeaks can never be overstated. That transparency is an extraordinary journalistic achievement.
They just succeeded in finding documents that existed and making them available to the world public. I mean, what could be more honorable than that?
By publishing information and sharing information with the public, he was exercising the right to free speech. He did so in the public interest.
I've watched a tsunami of lies and smear engulf him endlessly, vindictively, perfidiously, and I know why they smeared him.
Isn't it ironic that no one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice? But the great truth teller sits behind bars, waiting 175 years of virtual death sentence. Are we going to let that stand?
All right, I'm Rick Sanchez. Our goal here is to have a fun, intellectual conversation among friends. It's what we do, or at least in my case, a pseudo-intellectual conversation. So let me go with this. Y'all ready? There's a new study out published by Axios. It is catching fire on the internet. Everybody seems to be talking about this, so I grabbed it and I wanted to share it with you. What it reveals about young Americans and what they say about the country they live in compared to their parents and their grandparents. This is remarkable. Obviously, we expected a disparity, but look at this. So when older Americans, age 59 to 70, they call them boomers, are asked if they believe in America, if they remain patriotic, 76% said yes. Then they asked the same question of Gen Zers, people 18 to 26. 32% of them say they feel good about America and are patriotic. See that right there? And that's crazy, right? 76 to 32. Now let's talk about, is America the best place in the world to live, right? Look at what they said when they were asked if the U.S. is the best place in the world to live. Older Americans, absolutely, they're on board. 66%, high number, say America is the best place in the world to live. Gen Zers, when they're asked the same question, only 33% say America is the best place to live. Damn, right? Wow. Steve, you want to get us started? I mean, what do you think of this?
First of all, if I'm a Gen Z or living in my mommy and daddy's basement, unemployed, unable to figure out my gender, playing craft mine all day, and having been part of the everybody gets a trophy generation, being educated in our schools with how awful America is, I'd probably have that same perspective,
all right,
too. And I'd say most of these people have never left the country. They've probably never left their neighborhood to know what the rest of the world looks like. Maybe a little bit of time in some third world countries might change their mind.
All right, so Steve's going to play the role of grandpa yelling at the kids, saying it's all their fault. I'm wondering, Wilmer, are you going to take that same tack, or are you going to argue that maybe they might have a point?
Well, I'm going to say from their perceptions, they have an incredibly valid point, because I'm part of that baby boomer generation. We grew up with concepts and constructs such as the American dream and the Protestant work ethic and America, manifest destiny, and all of these other kinds of tropes.
Uh-huh.
And what now they are finding out, based upon unemployment in America, based upon interest rates in America, based upon their ability to get a job. There's a reason why a lot of these kids are living in their parents' basements, is because they can't afford to live anywhere else. And so the constructs that they were convinced were America, now they're finding out don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is coming also through social media. They're now able to see a reality that MSNBC and CNN and so many of these other mainstream American or Western media outlets are hiding from them,
yeah,
a la genocide in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
They have a problem with that. And who knows why, but for some reason, genocide isn't a good idea.
Well, and I think you hit on something with the economics, and we'll stay here for just a tad longer, Steve. Don't you agree? I mean, they look up and they see a lot of very rich guys getting a lot of things, and the average kid who gets out there, graduates from college, and tries to get a job is having a tough time. Have you seen what it costs for housing in the United States these days? I mean, they are having a little tougher time. It used to be 30, 40 years ago that a person on one salary could afford a home, a lake house, TV, two cars, and go on vacation three or four times a year. That doesn't happen anymore, Steve.
Well, just 3 years ago, you had $1.85 a gallon gasoline versus $4 or more. You had grocery carts that could be filled with bread and milk and eggs at about half the price that it is now. So some of this is a recent construct. And I would just add that these Gen Zers need to talk to everybody around the world, because millions of them are flooding illegally into our country because they believe in the American dream.
Or because we are ruining their countries with our policies and so much so that it's impossible to live in Honduras and impossible to live in Guatemala because our corporations and our military has gone in there and destroyed the country they would like to be living in, and they're desperate and have to go somewhere, so they come to the United States. That might have something to do with it as well, but let's move on. Let's move on.
None of them say that. Yeah. And the Biden administration, it's all climate change.
Well,
and Asians are coming here first generation and making it. Why can't our kids make it?
All right. A woman once picked by Biden to handle policy for him has quit his administration because she says that as a Jewish American, she cannot in good faith continue to allow him, her president, her boss, to use her faith as a bludgeoning tool for his war machine. That's the word she uses. Here's what Lily Greenberg calls, her name is Lily Greenberg Call, says about Biden's comments that made her angry as a Jewish American. Quote, I'm going to read it to you. He is making Jews the face of the American war machine. And that is so deeply wrong because so many of her ancestors were killed by state-sponsored violence. What is she referring to? She's referring to Biden's famous comment where he said no Jew would be safe in the world if they don't all back Israel's policies. I imagine you're going to have fun with this one there, Mr. Wilmer.
Well, you know, there was a group of Biden employees who a couple of months ago were protesting, and some said, well, if they're so disgruntled with Joe Biden, then they need to quit. Well, she's the first in what I think may be a list of others who will follow suit. And what I think she's really getting to is the reality between Zionism and Judaism, and the fact that the administration and so many others in the mainstream are trying to equate the two as a way of providing defense for genocide in Gaza. And she is pointing out very clearly that those two things are diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
And not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Zionists are Jews. Yeah. Allah, Joe Biden is a admitted Zionist, and he's an Irish Catholic.
Yeah, no, that is interesting that there seems to be a difficult time separating that. I think, Steve, it's just the media that doesn't want us to understand the difference between foreign policy and someone's religion. Why is that?
Yeah, I think we have a hard time in this country, as you see different fights between religious groups targeting each other or condemning each other. I will have to say that having worked in at least one administration, she's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You make your best pitch of what you think the policy ought to be. If you disagree, you either go along with it or you resign. And she's at least taking, I think, the more honorable tack. I may disagree with her reasoning, but she's doing the right thing when she says, I cannot work for an administration that does this. And there may be a whole list of other things that could cause people to resign. You either follow the lead of your leader or you quit.
So we're going to finish where we began. Are you ready? Here's Grandpa with a, you know, Grandpa's kind of been the theme today. Here's Grandpa with an extremely edited video trying to look tough as he dares the other grandpa to a June debate.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
I think there's like 14 edits in a 14-second video. Like there was just boom, boom. I can't believe how much they edited that thing to make him look awake. Pardon me. That was mean. I shouldn't have said that. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, guys, two old guys in diapers talking for an hour about a world that has passed both of them by decades ago. I don't know. Wilmer, get us started.
Well, was that Clint Eastwood or was that Joe Biden? You're feeling lucky, punk. Make my day. What was that?
It's what we got, man.
The one thing that Joe Biden does not want to do is to be live on stage, unscripted, for an hour talking about anything. So you remember his uncle, I think, died in a kibbutz. And please, no, Joe, not a good idea. But there's no way for him to get out of this.
Well, I think he has to have – I think they're forcing him into this because it's either put up or shut up, and you got to look like you're at least conscious, or we're going to replace you with maybe the governor of California who looks pretty damn good or something. I also think in this environment, Trump's going to look great because Trump is good at just – Trump, put a camera in front of him, and he just loves to talk and do the whole thing. I don't think he ever makes any sense, but nonetheless.
And he knows how to distract. He knows how to distract, and he will drive Joe Biden nuts.
I agree. And by the way, we should not, I would be remiss if I don't mention this, that the rules are being made mostly to help Biden. Because they're having no audience, they're going to cut off mics, they're not going to be able to engage with each other. So is it really a debate, Steve? Doesn't sound like it to me. And I'm still wondering whether this is really ever going to happen. What do you say?
No, it was a bluff. And would anybody like to see a cage match of Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Joe Biden talking tough. Biden would get taken out in about 5 seconds with the first punch or maybe the first blow at him. This was a bluff. They didn't think Trump would accept all the restrictions they're putting on, letting Jake, I hate Donald Trump, Tapper be the moderator. They didn't think he'd accept. And Trump, to his credit, is saying, man, I'll do it anyway because I'll dust you no matter what. The highlight of the week, though, was when Joe Biden is so confused, he endorsed Donald Trump at the end of the week, saying, I can't win. The best option is vote for Donald Trump. I mean, this guy can't even handle his own campaign.
Do you think, I mean, which one's more confused, do you think, Wilmer? Donald Trump, who keeps referring to Biden as Obama, or Joe Biden, who, when he walks, he looks like he, I don't know, is sleepwalking? I mean, the whole thing is just silly that this is what we, everybody I talk to on the street, no matter their age, says this to me. I can't believe that in this country, these are our choices. Are they wrong?
No. One can't believe that American politics has devolved to this point. But that's what happens when you have unrestrained campaign contributions, when the interest of the military-industrial complex is really controlling your policy, and there's no moral compass in the direction that the country heads.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we pick these guys. It just seems like there's something else out there. I'm not a big deep state guy. I hate using that terminology, Steve, but I think there's something else out there that seems to be driving our politics these days. And it should bother us, no?
It should bother us deeply. And I think that ultimately this case or this race comes down to personality versus policy. And that's why I think Trump, people will overlook personality and embrace the policies. I have said for a while, and I'm going to stick to it, we have a case here where we have one guy who can't form sentences and another guy facing sentences. And is this really the best we can do?
That is the quote of the day. We have to finish on that one. I thought it was so well said. Guys, we've run out of time. I wish we could keep going because this is a fun conversation. You're both smart people, good guys, good friends of the show. And we thank you once again for sharing your time with us.
Thanks, Rick.
And that's our show. Remember always to look outside your own box. Truth, they don't live in boxes, as I always say. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll see you next time.